This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Can I talk my shit real quick?
Sure.
Let me talk my shit, please.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'd like to talk my shit, please. May I have permission?
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all not ready.
Okay.
You're not ready for what I got.
For okay. Your shit?
For me to talk my shit. Spinach is nasty.
Whoa.
Okay.
Spinach is nasty.
In every form?
I eat it because I want to be strong like Popeye.
Oh. Sure.
But facts. Spinach is nasty as hell.
Can I talk my shit real quick?
If you think that's wise, okay. I just finished talking my shit.
I'd like to talk my shit real quick. Kevin, and I'm going to try to keep my emotions in check while I say this, but it is not going to be easy. Kevin?
Yeah?
Let me ride my bike in the studio now! Let me do it right now.
Want me to get it?
I want to get it.
Okay. There's enough space
it's
in here.
It's not. Don't just let me do it. You have to be excited about it.
You have to like it, Kevin.
I'd love for you to
I'm
write
getting
it.
So good.
Hayes has earned the right to have a little bit of enthusiasm out of you
mm-hmm.
when he offers to do us the favor of riding.
You wouldn't let me do it
in
the small studio, and you said when we were in the big studio, I could ride my bike.
You said that, Kevin.
I did. Well, rules are rules. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I talk my shit?
Joe, please talk your shit. Please talk your shit.
It's great to be back.
Okay. All right. Well, that ain't nasty like spinach. That's actually really sweet.
Thanks.
It's so good to have you back, Joe. I'm always so excited when you're here because it means I'm going to get to see and hear comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love to laugh uh-huh. and I love to have fun with my
the
friends.
The worst part about doing the show, about producing comedy, is it's less time to be able to actually just be consuming, just to be an audience member. It's like why I got into this.
So often
but
on the
all of
show,
a sudden I have no time
Hayes
to actually watch my comedy. It's like,
Hayes
stupid.
Is being funny doing comedy on the show and I don't know. I think sometimes I do it too. And Kevin did something last week that I liked. Uh-huh. But you know, it's rare that someone comes and really just says, Don't even talk to me.
Right.
Let's watch my comedy.
Exactly. And I mean, because it's great that you guys enjoy it because similarly, I'm putting in the work. So this, it is work for me, but
yeah.
in the hopes that, you know, specifically you three enjoy it.
Right. And that you get to watch your own comedy.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and this has been a labor of love. I've been waiting to shoot a special since, I mean, the pandemic, really.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
We talked about this. We, you know, I remember you talking to me and saying, I want to shoot a special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, am I even allowed to shoot a special? I remember you wondering if you were allowed.
I know. I mean, the current climate, obviously, mm-hmm. Can you say anything anymore? That's where I was at.
It's very dangerous. Comedy is the most dangerous job you can have.
Mm-hmm.
If they made a new season of Deadliest Catch, they wouldn't be trying to catch crabs. They'd be trying to catch laughs
mm-hmm.
because that is actually far more deadly
it
at
is,
this point
yeah.
because of the woke PC police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're the last
it's
line of defense.
It's time for people to step up, Pat Tillman
step
style.
Step up and stand up.
Get over there.
Mm-hmm. It's time to walk tall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. El Camino.
Yeah. Cry macho.
And so you said, you saw what was out there. You said, this shit ain't doing it for me. Let me try something real quick.
Exactly.
That's a Let me hit you with this instead.
Uh-huh. That's a.
Let me hit you with the ha.
Check this out. I'm trying to see something.
Let me see
that's
something.
That's you saying. That yeah, wasn't me.
Right.
So
right.
sorry.
I was talking.
I was talking.
Character.
I was speaking. Uh-huh. But that was you saying.
Yeah.
But I can see how it was.
But he does this to me.
I was kind of shocked. I felt like I was looking into a mirror
right.
or something.
Yeah.
I
no. That was you talking. But it was me.
Yeah.
Hayes is a master mimic, and he will do this where he will suddenly embody with no warning. You know, it's seamless. He embodies, you know, another person in the room. And you don't even know how to respond.
You know what I'd love? I could see that on a damn bike.
Oh, curr. Is that okay with you, Kevin?
I'd love for you to have your bike.
This is Kevin setting himself up.
Such a fake liar.
It's this fake thing, and it's all this setup for him where he goes, speaking of safety first, and then he like talks about how he wears a condom all the time.
Like, soft.
Yeah, well, honestly, I haven't asked that question.
Soft?
Has to.
He is, but the condom is very rigid.
Yes.
Okay. It's like a hard contact
poly,
lens.
It's like a composite, plastic composite. And I guess in his defense, it's like, it does kind of make sense that like, why is the condom so soft when like, DD's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't seem fair.
It's like, a whole
okay.
Just pick a lane, right?
Yeah.
It's oh, I'm too soft.
It's like dress for the job you want, I guess.
Oh, I'm too soft. Why don't you fucking hold yourself accountable?
Right.
You know what I mean? Clean your side of the street first, condom, before you come knocking on my door.
Right.
Like that's been my issue.
I thought you were here to help.
It's been one of my issues. I have a few issues. But one of them is the audacity of the condom.
I've been 3D printing condoms for friends. So,
ghost condoms.
Yeah. You can walk right through a metal detector. Kevin, if you go into the airport, I'll hook you up.
You can get on the plane. You can get on the plane.
No serial number.
Condom. You have to assemble it inside
comes
the bathroom.
Comes in parts, yeah. Well, I'd love to get into some of this content. You shot this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, talk about the process with the special, because you said you were scared to do it. You didn't know if you could. Now, then finally you just said,
I've been fuck it. And then I went on the road. Let me talk my shit. I've been touring nonstop for about a year.
I read something that even having your phone out, even if it's face down, diminishes the quality of conversation. So I just realized this was here.
Oh.
I apologize if you're saying your thing.
Yeah. No, me too. And just shot the special. I'm currently editing it. It's not out yet, obviously. I don't even have a buyer, but you know, this is the new way of producing stand-up.
And I mean, because they're just as scared as we are, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you think about trying to find a buyer for the crabs they would catch on Deadliest Catch, you know, like that. It's similar where it's like they have to catch them first.
The grocery store. The grocery store is scared at this point.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
King crabs are scary.
The original king crabs with comedy.
Go off king. Yeah.
Right.
Crab. So, yeah, I'm so proud of you just for even doing it.
Thank you.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to be funny and I know it's going to be in your face.
Yeah.
One thing I love about
where you put your phone is like right next to my drink. It makes me think you want me to like drink your phone or something.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know
what I mean? Here, I'll put
do you
it.
Wanna, yeah.
I'll
should
put
do
it
we want to bury him? Do
no,
we
no,
want to dig a
in
hole and bury them outside?
I also don't want to diminish my drink.
Put my shoe. Yeah.
Do we want to dig a hole and bury the phone?
I said I wanted to get it.
Oh my!
I said I wanted to get my bike.
It's feeling like because I do want to get into the comedy special too.
Yeah.
And like something I love about Joe's voice in terms of just like pulling punches, he doesn't do that.
No. It's true. I mean, that is true.
You know, he does the full entire punch.
And he like takes his gloves off, but not like that he's not gonna like do the fight anymore. You know what I mean? Because you might think like someone takes their
gloves
off because they decided not to do it.
Oh no, I'm like, I want bare knuckles.
Right.
Yeah.
to face contact.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love and I admire that. And it's a way that you could get your hands hurt.
Yeah.
But that's part of what makes it so
brave. That's the craft.
And they have to do it too. I mean, if you're taking yours off, then they should have to take
it. Oh, it goes both ways.
Well.
And so like I'm willing to get hurt for my craft. And
yeah.
And I think the audience knows that they're at risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what happens is like you both punch each other's like fists in the air. That's going to hurt so bad. Oh, like that's basically night at this point. I'm done if that happens. I think the whole shit is done. If
y'all ever play Bloody
Knuckles?
If anything
happens to me at all, basically, it's over.
White Knuckles?
Bloody Knuckles.
Bloody Knuckles. Okay.
I used to play, and what's the name of it? The Slap Game?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Honestly, that's sort of an inspiration for
your comedy.
My comedy, how I ended up here.
The Slap Game.
I played a game that was like, they didn't tell me what the name was, but I think it was Bloody Knuckles.
Uh-huh.
Based on...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have played.
I played some game that was like, I think that must have been.
That would, if that's not what it's called, it should be. That would be a great name.
Did
for
you
it.
End up with Bloody Knuckles?
No. Oh,
not in the one I played. Yeah. No. It was like you had different colored dice and there were different colored snails on like a board. Mm-hmm. And if your color snail got rolled on the dice, you got to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds intense.
And there was like a draw. There was like a draw pile. And a little button you could press.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there was the definitions of some unusual words.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like four board games kind of mixed
together. Stacked
on
top of each
other.
Four,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
four.
Yeah.
Four. Yeah. Four. Cool.
No, didn't work. So I guess I'm sick of talking and I just actually want to relax and like just like shut off my brain and just like enjoy.
We are going Mimi's mode in here right now.
Somebody did the work and like why don't I just let them carry me home? Yeah, let's laugh. You said it since you shot it recently, it hasn't come out yet. Nobody's seen it.
No one's seen it.
So if we do find something, and I don't expect to, but if we find something that maybe could get plussed up.
Sure.
With a little ADR.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Hayes sometimes will think of a really. I mean, he could do you. He could do your voice. He'll think of a
really funny.
Yeah.
He'll think of a really funny button on something. It will make me just die in laughing.
Do you want me to do that?
I'm not against it. I'd love to see like how you could improve.
Well, let's plus up the special if possible.
Wait,
you
have the special.
We have footage. I don't know if it's fully edited, Kevin. You've been working
on. It might be raw.
Huh, well, yeah, it would be raw. I mean,
which is what Kevin.
Yeah, that's one thing Kevin never
is. The opposite of raw. He is fully
steamed and cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I am noticing. As you see me release here, that my microphone is suffering from ED.
Joe's is having that issue too.
Yeah.
I'm sort of wondering if you have appropriated some components.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the mechanism.
Some structural elements of the microphone have been removed and placed somewhere else, perhaps in the walls of the rigid condom.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but you're rock hard.
Yeah. And I'm also sort of wondering, we talked about getting the thing on the plane, the missing bolts of the Alaska Airlines panel, did they ever find those?
Yeah, right? And it seemed to, they came off from the inside, it seemed.
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
Kevin has been jangling.
They haven't found them.
Kevin, you might be better at this than, I know you'll be better at this than I am. Kevin's been asking me.
Mm.
For a setup to what he says is a perfect punchline, which is, why don't they make the whole plane out of the 3D printed condom?
All right, let's watch some of this.
My New Year's resolution for 2024 is to finish Oppenheimer in 2025. Like, seriously, I'm almost there. I love Oppenheimer, especially the first season.
Okay. So okay. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. So, guys, it happened again. This isn't.
This isn't. This isn't. edited the way that you were expecting.
Okay.
This is it. Just trust me.
It's gonna be helpful.
This will be very helpful for you.
A lot of eyeballs, and also a lot of the shit you talk about when I watch your stand-up, which by the way I love. But you're talking about like going to the bathroom, having sex with animals, right. Like things that I think people don't really want.
The one we actually watched like, did not even mention Oppenheimer.
It didn't. You didn't have
Oppenheimer.
Well, there were no. Yeah. There were no movies. There was no Oppenheimer. There was it really was to me very alienating.
Yeah.
And especially as someone who wants to work in entertainment, ideally, I think you should.
I should be talking about
Oppenheimer and things that you know.
And it's okay. I'll do it again. Yeah. So I guess I was thinking.
Yeah. What was the genesis of this? Because I love the joke.
Yeah.
I think you know.
I just don't understand.
I remember watching Oppenheimer and thinking this is a long one. I'm loving it, but.
I am with you a little bit. It was.
Do you remember
a
that? It was kind of
movie.
Long. And then I was thinking, yes. You know, what if I said, season one, implying that I had
the defining watched. Quality of TV is this longness.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And the seasons are even longer sometimes than a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah.
Does it bump you at all, and I don't that Killers of the Flower Moon is like a full hour longer. Never mind.
No, I just it's went like, with Oppenheimer, and I just because that's sort of more in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, no, I mean Oppenheimer's nominated for so many more awards, and it's like, you know, there are probably better people to cut to.
Absolutely,
and
yeah, and I mean like the.
No, by the way, congratulations on
getting
the crowd.
Chris Nolan and all these other people to like check out your shit.
You said I recorded a special. I pictured you in a theater with a bunch of the kind of scumbags.
No,
that
I pulled.
To our
I will admit, I pulled every single favor I could, and I thought it'd be fun to just sort of arrange them into tables, numbered tables. with
that's
bouquets and such, but and like people were into it. People
they paid off huge.
Yeah,
Chris is loving this. Yeah, he actually gets it because he made Oppenheimer.
Well, and he thought it was long.
Yeah,
he was like, "Why the fuck am I not cutting?"
I mean,
this
he's
out?
Cracking up. Yeah, and I, you know, and
I don't need most of this. He was saying,
"Yeah, this is all just filler."
Yeah, studio wanted it longer.
So yeah, I think ultimately I was just sort of poking fun at the length of the movie.
I love that idea, and now I really get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, because like thematically, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that is just not funny.
No, there are concepts inside it that I don't think really would lead to anything juicy comedically, mm-hmm. but right. But the movie runtime of Oppenheimer is actually something that like it's fair game.
It is, and it's just fun.
And it's like I feel like I'm ready for, I'm settled in. Now, you know what I mean?
I mean that's my opener.
Yes. I know I'm all in right? good hands.
Yes, yeah. That's your opener, Homer.
My Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer answered a lifelong question that's been on my mind for years. Yes, scientists do get laid. As long as they look like Cillian Murphy. Oppenheimer and Barbie are competing for cinematic box office achievement.
Okay, all right.
Oppenheimer is based on a 721-page Pulitzer Prize-winning book about the Manhattan Project. And Barbie is on a plastic doll with big boobies.
Stop it.
Well, first, can we just say how good my teeth look?
Yeah, they look worn in.
Yeah.
They've been around for a bit, huh?
Yeah.
You seem comfortable with them, which is like such a big part of having teeth.
Well, it's all about confidence.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, no, it just feels like...
Confidence is the biggest part of having teeth in your mouth.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's sort of
can't think about it too much.
No.
Yeah.
You just
if you're like futzing with them all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Then it just doesn't, it makes other people uncomfortable. And like, that's not what you want in a stand-up show. I mean, you can make them uncomfortable with some of your content.
Sure, no, but I just teeth-wise, I just want to mention I crushed it. And I think a lot of the credit goes to my crew for just sort of emphasizing that.
No, I mean, there's obviously a lighting design crew, right?
I mean, like,
yeah.
People think of a crew like your team, you're like your hair, makeup, whatever, but they have the same equipment as a
a lot of wrenches and.
People talk about a stand-up special like you just like, it's like just a man and a mic and you walk out there. It's like, no, there's a whole team supporting you.
Right.
Every time they cut away, they're coming in.
Right. Yep.
Yeah,
commercial break. I had a lot of commercial breaks in my special, weirdly, but yeah, every commercial break it was just a lot of work done as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. But it
like clockwork.
Yeah. But it looked, I mean, I never saw them on stage and I never stopped thinking about the teeth.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Me neither.
Yeah. So I do want to, did you want to talk about this joke at all?
Oh,
I mean, I have no issues with it. I thought it landed. I thought it,
like, I guess.
I think it was a good,
I know.
I thought that was a good observation.
Well, it was brand new, which was cool. But I think what, I was curious because.
And Greta loved
this. This is, oh my God, you see her and she is like.
Yes.
Like. Knows exactly what to do with her face because you've put her in such a comfortable position.
Right, right.
And that's the thing is like, you're cared for when you go to a Mandy show.
Right.
But I think this could be educational for our audience in terms of, there are all these micro decisions that go into making a joke, into crafting a joke.
For sure.
And like, word choice, yes, can seem obvious in retrospect, but you could have said, you know, what the setup, the first half, we know it's a 700 page book,
right?
And you know, that's the for the literary elite. But on the second half, you could have said, based on a toy,
right?
Mm-hmm. Based on a plastic doll,
right?
Based on a buxom plastic doll, based on a plastic doll with big honking taters. You know,
because that's your association, and I think for almost all of us, when we see
a Barbie.
The Barbie.
We're like, look at them boobies.
She's packing firepower.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way around it. Like, it's in terms of the upstairs section,
right?
You know.
Mm-hmm. I had an alt. I mean, I just kept it simple. I was like, big plastic boobies.
Big boobies,
But, you know,
You seemed comfortable saying it.
I loved it. I you know, that ultimately is just like, it rolls off the tongue. It's my style. I remember in the room, someone made the point that, like, you as to your observation about firepower, I was like, it's like, look at her sweater. She's got two Oppenheimers.
Yeah, too much. I agree.
Talk about bombs, right?
Yes, yeah, right. Yes.
I thought Oppenheimer had bombs.
It's a show for like, you know, we only want a four quadrant thing. Right. You want to be like making, again, like the bomb stuff.
But that's
like
for inside the room. Like, exactly. You know, the green room of a comedy show like this.
Yes.
Some of the most depraved, freakish ideas ever. Stuff like this bomb stuff you're doing.
Yeah, I know. Again, and that just
lives there.
And you don't want to get into the actual story of the movies you're describing.
Comedians are creatures of the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they don't necessarily all see the movie and like, the story or what it's saying or the themes is like, we know how long it is.
Yeah.
And we know the measurements of fucking certain plastic.
Doll. And the main guy, hunky fuck machine. Dolly Big Boob.
Yeah, no, the
I don't want to ignore scientist.
That hunky sort of odd
sort
looking,
of frail.
Sort of frail.
Yeah.
Very ashen. Yeah, that guy fucks, right? And so compare that to Barbie. They're big boobies. I mean, it's right there.
I like it, but it's like, we all know it works. But then I do think it's important to talk about sometimes why it works and all the kind of landmines you avoided and ways that you could have worded mm-hmm. it that wouldn't have had the same impact.
Right.
And but created this face from Greta.
Yes. Yeah. And I just want to say, to be able to step up and to make that kind of observation, it like, because honestly, right now, you really cannot say that. And it starts in schools.
Yeah.
Like, I remember
education
seeing the Barbie
reform,
pointing at it, saying big boobies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big boobies on them. Mm-hmm. And being told, hey,
you can't say that.
Cannot be talking.
You know what? I remember I have the same memory. Yes. And I remember thinking, just wait.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. We're so excited to be working with Mack Weldon again. We wear Mack Weldon stuff. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon sweatshirt right now, but it has been, we've had a few years
in
the wilderness.
Great stuff. Yeah. We had a little bit of a period where we were not actively engaged in this partnership with them. It was really hard on us. I like to think it was hard on them. I don't know. That wasn't expressed to us ever. We
Nothing
struggled
was.
In that
yeah.
time.
And that was, I think, part of it was like really wanting to maintain a total separation from the partnership for a while. We are back. Mack Weldon, the underwear's great. The Ace sweatpants.
The sweatpants I have always loved. I recently ordered, and I will report back on them in the next ad, fingers crossed, if we have one, and I hope we do. What's going on? But I did order a polo shirt.
Wow.
A silver, and silver is their special fabric that is like antimicrobial. I got the Silver Peak polo shirt, and I don't really wear those, but I do kind of like them. And this mm-hmm. could be a whole new me that you end up seeing.
And so people might be asking, we'll just cover it in this ad before we move forward, what happened to Mack and Weldon, the prospector characters you used to do for Mack Weldon ads. Mack and Weldon are dead. We want to like underscore that fact. It was very important to
it was not the only reason that for the break, but we did give them their space. We did take a break, and Mack and Weldon wasn't not a reason that we came to that place with this company. And so they are dead. You know, no reason to go into any of the gruesome details. Those characters have been killed, murdered, and that's how they're dead. Was not natural causes, was not anything peaceful. They're gone.
Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants from the Ace collection. The Silver Peak polo, the Silver Crew neck t-shirt. Great stuff. Get it at Mack Weldon. Timeless looks with modern comfort. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code TheBoys. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code TheBoys.
Let's face it, folks. Shopping for loved ones can be difficult, but Aura is making it a lot easier. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? I know I am. Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos. So I took advantage of this. Obviously, people know I'm a wife guy, and my wife is also a mom. So for Mother's Day this year, I know I want to give her something special that makes her life a little bit easier. So I'm going to preload the Aura frame with images of gifts that I want her to buy me. That way, I'm taking so much of the pressure of shopping for me off of my wife. It's called being a considerate husband, and I can't imagine a better gift than a frame with a series of images of items I wish I had. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts to even friends in your life, everyone will love an Aura frame. It was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages, and they make it easier to let them know where they've maybe been letting you down and not getting you exactly what you want. That's why there's nothing more passive-aggressive and thoughtful than an Aura frame. Right now, they've got a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Oh, and terms and conditions? Yeah, they apply.
Okay, what's
I watched
next?
Barbie. I loved it. I really did love it. I don't want you guys to think that I'm a creep, but it was kind of weird being attracted to a plastic doll.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
It's just something about your eyes, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
So let's stop for a second. So you had me in the first half.
Yeah. You knew what I was. You thought...
Not gonna lie,
yeah.
I actually was like, and I liked it even then, you know, being attracted to a plastic doll. Okay, yeah, that is a little strange, right?
But it's also
having
like
sex with a doll.
Universal,
you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's a little strange, but everyone is like, okay, I get this. Like, we're just on a normal tip right now.
Because I laid in
exactly
right before that this idea of big plastic boobies.
You showed your math.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? You establish the doll as plastic.
And then I hit you with the riot. Now I'm talking about a Ken doll.
You get attracted to a male doll.
A man.
Like, imagine.
Yeah.
And his eyes. Like, you're looking at his eyes and wanting to have sex.
And I was proud that I didn't mention the big plastic bump where a penis would be. Because that, to me, that's just grotesque and not worth bringing up. We talk about boobies.
Well, it would have been, I think, for me, a big turnoff.
Exactly, yeah.
To hear you talk about the penis bump. And instead, what I got was a turn on.
Yeah, and I told the room, I was like, I see why this is funny, but I'm not, like, I don't want people watching to think I'm gay.
That
or a creep, like you just said, like, you know,
well, so like, and it's like not gay, like I'm looking at your eyes right now.
Yeah.
Now it's fine, you know.
No, you can appreciate and enjoy the beauty of someone's eyes, but what I love about the joke is it does live in this perfect center of the Venn diagram where it is funny to imagine you liking a guy, because that would be
that's
gay.
What they said, that's that, what
but
they
you're
said
not, but
and
you're
I was
not saying anything about sex parts, which would be a little too gay.
A little gay. That's what I told the room. I was like, they finally convinced me. I was like, eyes, I look at eyes all day. So yeah. I'll meet you there because I understand the rhythm of the joke.
Mm-hmm. Once we get into body parts, now we're actually exploring something where it's
I don't want to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's loving it.
The whole show, just close your eyes, Ryan. Everyone just looks into your eyes. And Margo, it's not always about you.
Got it.
The key moment in Barbie is when she goes from perfect beauty to bad breath, cellulite, and flat feet. Or what casting directors call character actor.
Okay. Bad breath. I mean, you see these actors on screen with that stanky breath?
No. I said bad breasts.
Oh, okay. Really sounded like you said bad
really
breath.
Living in that same...
I said bad breasts.
Is that a teeth?
It did say, it was hard to hear what you said.
Yeah, no, the teeth sometimes get in the way, but I did say bad breasts, just to sort of, you know, we already established that Barbie has perfect boobies, so a character actor, thus, bad breasts.
What I like is, a lot of it is for everyone. Everyone knows how long the movie is.
Right.
Everyone knows what fucking titties look like.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that maybe people don't always know is what a character actor is, which is someone with bad breath or whatever you said.
Yeah.
And their
flat
feet.
Oh,
their
my
feet.
God. I have you ever like watched an audition?
I see some of these movies with these freak shows, and I just imagine being waited on by someone whose feet are against the bottom of their shoe.
You can hear
to it.
like a Paul Giamatti type actor. Like you can hear when he walks across the, even like the frame, even if you can't see his feet, they're just slapping the ground.
Right. No, it's full surface contact. Every inch of the sole is against the linoleum.
So I think that's sort of most people, even if you don't work in Hollywood, I think most people recognize that. Just when you watch a movie, most of the people you're watching have.
That's what I mean is it's for the room and the room loves it. But me out here, I'm learning something, you know, not me, but someone.
Right.
I'm learning something. And it's like seeing them enjoy it and feeling like I'm inside of this special club. It is okay to go, you know, a little niche. Not talking about the it's topic inside, of but any like, movies, but yeah.
But, I mean, think about this room. Even if you didn't know that everyone's leaving the theater tonight knowing, oh yeah, flat
yeah,
feet.
Like, I now like Alfred that. Molina has cellulitis. Yes, he's a great actor, but like,
yeah, but
he has cellulite. Cellulitis is a flesh-eating disease. But maybe I should have used that.
Okay, I thought you did. Again, it was kind of hard to. Right. That might be.
I couldn't totally.
No, I said bad breath, cellulite, and flat feet.
Some I wrote. Some other people wrote. Robert De Niro's here.
Okay. Wait.
Okay. That.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the process. You seem to want everyone to be aware of the collaborative environment through which a lot of our comedy comes from. The idea that we just get a beer, we just like do this by ourselves.
And I hate that. And you know, I gave no credit to the writers for my first special. Or the second thing we discussed.
And by the way, that's industry standard. I mean, most people act like everything, you know, sprung from their twisted mind.
Yeah.
No, and so I just wanted to make it clear, I wrote, some other people wrote.
I've said some shit on this episode that's not that funny that was written for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, we all use other, but we don't spend every episode, right, going through and going like, some of this is mine, some of this isn't.
Right.
And to take your special on this big stage in front of all these people and say like, hey, I can't take all the credit.
Exactly.
And you're not saying that like the good stuff was mine and the bad shit was other
people's. No, for now.
Like that you're not revealing that.
It was not a blame game. It was just I felt in that moment.
At this
moment,
point, it's not.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
to give even any amount of time at all for people to not know that your shit's the good stuff is like it.
I'm a man. No, just to let them draw their own conclusions from like when you said that and why.
And it is fun. Once you sort of let people peek behind the curtain, then it is sort of a guessing game. Which one was written by him?
Mm-hmm.
Which one was the room?
Well, it's interesting because it was said after character actor.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wasn't said after big boobies.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I wrote big boobies.
Okay, yeah. Based on what you were talking earlier, that really did seem like that.
Boobies. Because I put a little English on it. I was like, boobies. Playing with my teeth.
Some I wrote, some other people wrote. Robert De Niro's here. Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up. You're kidding me, right?
So the character actor joke really seems to have...
It made me spiral out a little, yeah.
Turned a corner.
Yeah.
Your entire bearing on stage seems to transform, and the teeth almost seem to start...
rebelling.
Trying to escape.
Yes, I mean, that is true. I just lost my cool a little...
Let's watch this whole section.
Let's watch that whole section. Look, I freaked out. Yes. I didn't know Robert De Niro was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be part of it.
And I needed him to know exactly how long I had been preparing for this moment. And this was more of an aside to Robert De Niro.
This could be an editing thing where I want to see, because as Hayes pointed out, at first, certainly, you are not... differentiating between who wrote what or whose jokes are good
just
or bad.
Just acknowledging the content that other people contributed.
I just want to watch this whole 45-second section and see how...
Slow down. I wrote some of these and they're the ones you're laughing at. Look.
Okay.
Okay. So go back and I just want to see how long from the first mention to
that we allowed,
to clarifying.
Yes. Yeah,
that we allowed people to draw their own conclusion.
Some I wrote, some other people wrote. Robert De Niro's here. Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up. You're kidding me, right? Slow down. I wrote some of these, and they're the ones you're laughing at.
Okay, look. It was 14 seconds.
You can't just let it, like, hang out there forever. Let people think that the ones they're laughing at, which I'm not 100% certain which ones you were thinking of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You've done...
But that's another area where you do let people
you've
decide.
You've done four jokes. And by the way, you only had 10 days.
Exactly.
You had 10 days
you've
to already write four
had
jokes.
To, you've already had to do four, and presumably there might be more coming.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. But also, presumably, you're leading with the strongest
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
Sure, sure. My Oppenheimers.
And we're getting pretty quickly into even using ones that other people wrote at the top of it is already a noble gesture.
Thank you. Yeah. I it seems like I'm angry here. I'm not angry. I'm just
okay. Well, why do you think just because you say shut up to everyone yeah. and go like give me a break? Are you kidding
Are
me?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was going to be a catchphrase for the show. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Okay. That's cool to kind of layer that through your special. You call the special, are you kidding me?
That was
the Or hope. I am kidding you.
I am kidding
you. I am kidding you.
Oh, right. That's good.
It's mostly about movies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Does that connect with...
Am like... I kidding you? Look, I know it's... You
is
said
this,
14
is this
seconds.
Movies, is, it, is this movies kidding me?
Well, movies are kidding you, yeah. right? I mean, yeah, they're yeah. presenting you with yeah. You know, something that is not real and asking you to invest in it. I mean, that's kidding.
Movies, I'm
that's kidding.
Kidding. I'm the movie kid.
Are you movies that are kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Kidding. Movies shut up. Just shut the fuck up.
Okay.
It shut does. Up, okay?
I know 14
that
seconds
that made me just so comfortable. Like I just remember like right before you did that going like what do? Am I supposed to talk?
And most people most people already are being very quiet
yeah.
in the room.
Yeah.
And so to
that almost seemed like your issue.
Yes. And so the kind of bravery to respond to be like just be please be more quiet.
I thought that was yeah. funny that awkward, deadly silent room to yell shut up was just acknowledging. I mean, it's like it's sort of acknowledging what's humorous in that moment.
Yeah. No, it's totally it's like a big guy named Tiny or something. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like shut up room.
But
it's not
but it's a big guy and you yell big guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
right.
already
yes.
big.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
right.
No, I thought it was funny. And, you know, you said it was 14 seconds before I really blamed anyone. But for like, you have to imagine in that moment, that's an eternity for me. 14 seconds.
For me as well. Yeah. No, I totally believe
longer.
You. Yeah.
It felt way longer.
Yeah. If you had asked
long.
Me before we started, that was why I wanted to kind of see the entire thing. Because I thought from an editing perspective, uh-huh. we may want to give that more room to breathe, but then seeing it, no. It's perfect.
And I could see how it would have felt even longer if you have realized the mistake you may have made where people are potentially thinking that the shit that they are loving
uh-huh.
wasn't your shit.
No, you know? I know. Yeah.
Some I
Unclear,
wrote, some other people
exactly,
wrote. That's kind of soft. Yeah. And by the way, there's a tradition of that, right? I mean, monologue jokes from, you know, Letterman will go like, I knew that one wouldn't work or something.
Right.
You kind of know.
Right.
Okay, he didn't write that one. But to go, some I wrote, some other people wrote, you are leaving this space for them to go like, oh
right.
Hmm. He wrote the bad ones. Mm-mm. And the ones that I'm dying laughing at
and I could-
Oppenheimer length. That,
yes.
that I'm laughing longer than Oppenheimer
and that's,
lasted.
Honestly, in the like on stage, I was seeing people make those calculations
yeah.
in their head, mm-hmm. and I just shut up.
Yeah,
let me get there. Let me tell you.
Shut up. This next part's important.
I wrote
the
good
funny
one.
Shit.
Yeah.
I had never seen that, and it's rare. You always talk about in comedy, right? You know, nothing new under the sun.
Uh-huh.
Like, who's really innovating? Who's doing something Kaufman-esque?
Mm.
And this was, to me, completely new. I had never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I had seen people sort of blame their writers for a joke they didn't like, but I hadn't seen them clarify. And I am writing things you do like.
It was thrilling. Like, in the moment, I felt like I was flying. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm breaking the sound barrier or something. Like, this is, no one's done
this. And every performer out there is like, yes, that's exactly how it is.
Yes.
The shit I did was good. The shit that other people did for me is busted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And that's why they're not the ones doing it.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's a thing.
That's how you earn your tea.
Writers, fucking pathetic losers.
Robert De Niro's here. I'm sorry. I'm a fan.
Hey, can I just what they talk about professionalism? Mm-hmm. Can we go back to the shot of Jim Gaffigan registering that the light has gone on on his camera?
Yeah. He's a pro. He gave me a lot of tips, actually.
Camera on. Gaffigan sees the light go on. You can actually see him look at the camera and see the light go on and does a big
And that's
a colleague.
That's brotherhood. Mm-hmm.
That's a comedian. When you see the light go on, you do a
End of the day, we're a family.
And Margot did the same.
I'm sorry, I'm a fan. I'm fanning out. I love you, Robert. Okay? If it's awkward, I'm sorry.
People didn't catch that.
I had to do that in front of me. I know it's.
I was saying I'm a fan.
Uh-huh.
Because of the movie The Fan.
He's in the movie The Fan. Okay. And no one got it. Yeah. And I wanted to be like, I wrote that.
People also didn't seem to pick up that you were doing a Robert De Niro impression as well.
Yes.
I'm a fan. I'm sorry. The famous line, right?
Yes.
From the movie.
From The Fan.
Yeah,
He goes, I'm a fan.
I'm a fan.
And when you say, sorry, I had to do that in front of you, people seem to kind of be thinking like, what did you do? Like, was something done here? I just didn't really register that.
That was frustrating.
I thought I'm performing for cinephiles.
They don't actually know.
So that was frustrating. After yelling that I wrote all the good stuff, to write something I really thought would land with a room full of
to have done
writers.
Something that couldn't possibly have been written for you. To immediately go into something that no one could possibly have ever written for you, which is to say I'm a fan and then go into an impression
that
you have crafted
and yet it was not written for him, obviously. Like, people are not enjoying it.
I know, I was kidding, I didn't write that.
Yeah.
They said, like...
That's what I mean. Like,
no.
I remember even saying, what's The Fan?
Well, it's a hall of mirrors, you know? Yeah.
I'm a bit awestruck. This guy's amazing. Decade after decade, he just kills it.
Decade after decade, man.
Again, I gotta blame the teeth.
Decade after decade.
I realized we were live, and I was gonna say decade after dickhead.
Yeah,
and I thought that would be funny. Decade after dickhead.
I kind of like that.
And, but I realized I'm gonna get bleeped.
Time. I don't know how you do it, man. I swear to God. Your last performance has got to be your greatest performance ever. How'd you get her pregnant at 80? CGI?
Yeah.
Is he looking? You talking to me? By the way, Killers of the Flower Moon is so great.
I just want to say, like, you're kind of... You're kind of back.
Yeah.
We are so back right now.
Yeah.
Like, and now I feel like, okay, now I do know which ones he wrote.
Your last performance was your best performance. Everyone's thinking it's a
movie.
It is actually an explosive nut.
Yeah.
Fucking and nutting.
An 80-year-old nut.
Yeah.
Into a woman's
birth canal. I go, well... Great joke, but there's no tag on it.
Yes.
Especially because we had started with the movie idea. So I was like, but now we're in this world of we're talking about sex and it's a little crass, but then CGI.
Yes. Talk about that.
Can I tell you what it stands for? Come goes inside. See, people thought it was completely.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's what you
yeah,
were.
No, it was.
That's,
I didn't know. Goes inside,
okay, you did know. I didn't know.
I could tell.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that, but I could tell
you
something
knew it was
going.
Yeah, because you know, and then, you know, That was a fun one for me. I wrote that because it was sort of, I think, you know, it's one of those 10 percenters where like 90% of the room thought I was referring to computer generated graphics.
Yeah.
But
CGI, computer generated graphics. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is the I?
You're asking me. It's inside, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly, dude.
Inside, man.
Yeah, I mean, I like to me, it was like, I don't even know what these words actually stand for, but I know it's movie related, so I can yell it. But the 10% knows what this is really.
Kevin's screaming at us right now. Images.
Images. See, I mean, to me, it's cum goes inside.
Kevin's screaming at his screen. It's images.
Hey, Killers of the Flower Moon. The cast is here. Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio, Lily Gladstone, you guys crushed it. Crushed it. The one thing I learned about that movie is that white people stole everything. You guys stole everything. Not like 97%. You guys stole 100% of everything. You took the land. You took the oil. You took the premise of the movie. What, that was your premise? That's hilarious. I don't care. It's just that the room is really white.
Okay, pause it. So, you did end up talking about Killers of the Flower Moon.
It did, yeah.
Can I say something? But my first ADR suggestion?
Of course.
Maybe go back and see, like, season one.
Oh, a callback.
Just quick, just before you get in. I don't want to lose any of this.
Yeah, no.
But I think there is room to squeeze it.
There is some room there to squeeze that. Because there's that shot on the table. We can just plop that in.
I mean, it's like time to own up, I guess. Like me watching that as a white man, you're talking about like white people stole the land, they stole the premise of the movie.
Even the premise of the movie. They stole the oil, yes. Yeah.
But my first reaction, especially on the premise of the movie, was, no, we did not. I got into this defensive place. I thought, no, we didn't steal the premise of the movie.
I had a really visceral reaction to that.
Yeah.
And also,
not even really knowing, like, I think in my defensiveness, I didn't really understand what you were even talking about.
I didn't know what it meant. Because I know that it is a like true historical event that has been dramatized.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so
the premise.
I suppose the experience of the people within the movie,
that's the premise,
belongs to them. And in that sense, any like biopic or anything, the premise has been stolen.
Yeah. No, which
now I don't disagree with. At the time that I watched it just a second ago, I was livid. Well, I was fuming.
But then when I said that is funny, I don't care. That must have relaxed you.
It made me.
Oh, damn, that is funny.
It made me take a step back. Yeah. Well, he said, I don't care. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't care. When you said that, man, I just went like, what am I all wound
exactly
up about?
That's just releasing a pressure valve in the room. It's
no,
just like, I don't care. Shut
you
up.
You took all the air out of my tires.
That is funny.
I'm revving up my monster truck about to run you over.
You white devil.
You said there's a lot of white people in the room. Guilty. And I go, man, why am I sweating the small stuff? And it's all small stuff.
Exactly.
And then I have to look back at the other ones of like, were those also funny?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, totally. I really didn't know what you meant when you said the premise of the movie. I just didn't know what
it
meant.
But that's my baggage.
And I knew it was at me. And I think my reaction of going, no, we didn't. And then you going, come on, that was your premise. And I have to then also kind of throw my hands up and go, I guess I can't defend that. I can't say it was mine.
You know, have you ever like said a word so many times it like loses all meaning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how it was
that's
writing
how,
that
that's
joke.
How, like,
I was just saying the word premise.
Premise.
Okay. That's not your premise. And then that got me into a funny place where I was like, this word means nothing.
Well, it made me also like take a look at some other movies as we're talking about where I'm like that I maybe gave a pass, and I'm thinking here of Sully.
That's not your premise.
That's not your premise.
That premise belongs come on, to Sully.
That was your premise. Give me a break. I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
That is. I mean, I'm laughing.
That's funny. I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care.
Sully, not Sully.
Sully, not Sully. Yeah, I love that, man. That might be ADR. I don't know where it goes.
Sully, not Sully. It could go right there.
Yeah. So,
that's
can
a
we
good
go back? Can we try that? Sully, actually, not can we go Sully? To the, yeah. the shot Plug of that yeah. the table?
Let's lay in that ADR right now.
The thing I learned about that movie is that
Sully, not Sully.
White people...
Just a little
more. You know
more.
What? As we do time. Pause this, I liked this phrasing that I wouldn't have expected. One thing I learned about that movie, I would think of it as something you learned from the movie.
No, dude.
But it's like, one thing I learned about that movie, which is probably more accurate, is someone explained the movie to you so that they could explain the joke to you so that you could do it.
I only got this job 10 days ago. I got to watch season one of Killers of the Flower Moon.
Nice. Yes, nice. Season one. Yes, love this.
Crushed it. Crushed it.
Sully, not Sully.
One thing I learned about that movie.
Perfect.
Got it.
Snuck it in.
You're recording, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's going to work.
We got it.
The room's like, yeah, we did take it. And...
I was being like
I
that.
I want Saltburn. Yep. I want Saltburn.
Did you watch Saltburn?
You know what I loved about Saltburn?
The writers
Yeah, I kind of don't. I kind of was not buying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want, I mean.
Movie's something
kinda,
even just
that
about
movie's
like.
Kind of gay.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I didn't want
because
people to actually think
gossip.
I watched it. I was
yeah,
like, this is this
moment where you were walking such a right. tightrope. I thought.
You know, I wanted. I was like, if I say watch Saltburn, I was like, I just watched the eyes of Saltburn.
Well, it's a tonnage issue too, where it's like if you're gonna say that if you're gonna really watch Saltburn, then you do have to cut the Gosling joke.
Exactly.
Which, like,
yeah,
Barbie's
no,
a bigger movie.
Like,
you can't do that. Yeah.
I was convinced to just say I saw it. Yeah. Gay ass.
Or you
movie.
Watched it.
I learned
it.
That satanic families have feelings too. Is Barry Keoghan here? Is Barry Keoghan? Where's Barry Keoghan seated?
You busted Where? Yourself up with that
and
one.
I, that's and all I was good. Saying.
Where's your penis
wrong?
Seated? Down front? That was the real star of the show. That was the real star of the movie.
Penis.
Where's your penis seated? Talk to me about that.
And how does this?
I haven't seen Saltburn.
This theme in your comedy, just like uh-huh. watching uh-huh. a movie and pointing at the screen and saying boobies, penis.
Penis, boobies.
I mean, I was mostly looking at his eyes, but there is a scene where he's got a big floppy dick. He's just got a big floppy dick, you know, and
so big that it's like. Because that was confusing because he was like, where's your penis seated?
Uh-huh.
So it's not that it's like detached and it's like...
No. If you watch like, the movie, it's attached.
It is attached.
And it is flopping around.
Okay. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. And that's sort of... That is it. Sort of the joke.
I'm married.
Like, can you like... Like, it is funny to imagine that it's detached and in a different...
Or that it could, I guess that it could reach all the way to the front row.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
To a different
that
seat.
Is, yeah.
And he said, I mean, well, not just front row. He said down in front.
Down in front.
Which
down
is, I guess
front.
Is what you could say to a penis that was so big
so
and tall.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I can't see the screen. Hey, no, down in front, penis.
What's good? Well, that's something I learned about that movie is that the penis... What makes a joke good is if it's open to interpretation like
yes.
this. You know, mm-hmm. that everyone's sort of visualizing
I'm
something.
Picturing so many different seating arrangements
yes.
for
yes.
the penis.
What I had liked, you know, in the moment, too, is that I have heard some, like, discourse around the movie Saltburn
yeah.
and some discussion
yeah.
of it. And I didn't know anything about dude's penis.
Yeah.
And so that made me go, like... Oh, I guess that's part of the
well,
movie
right.
or something.
If the zeitgeist, if the meme...
Bring the zeitgeist to you.
Yeah. If the memes are about him drinking cum, I'm like, I don't care. Let's talk about the penis in front, down in front.
Down in front, the tall penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been too easy to make a joke about drinking cum. And I'm not going to do that.
No, none of these feel easy.
If you haven't seen Saltburn, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. So watch it. Then you'll understand what I was talking about. And then right after that, watch Barbie. And then you're going to be like, something's missing. And then watch Maestro, and you'll be like, oh, there it is. It's on Bradley Cooper's face.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay.
So, yeah.
I thank you for taking me on that journey. I just want to say thanks.
So many points. Now that I have been like carried and walked to, you know, to the exact idea of so many different things, I'm ready to be a little bit uncomfortable and lost.
Yeah.
People might say there must be a shorter way to get there. Did we need to like go back to Barbie?
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I did see Barbie. I'm married, but I watched it.
Could you? Yeah.
And I did. They don't really explicitly explore like him saying something's missing. Like they're not showing like a nude.
No, I mean, this is again this
lack
is imagining,
of or something.
Right?
Yeah, no, but he's just saying it's just talking about your joke,
yeah.
Which I
yeah.
love.
Yeah,
he. Me. You're saying you go watch the movie. I like how many times you said go watch the movie, then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And then you could feel I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about.
You could have just come right off of the previous joke, where's your penis sitting today?
Mm-hmm.
Down in front.
And just gone to like, I haven't seen an appendage that big on screen since Maestro.
Right,
but why not?
No. I think
tell
you say,
people to see three different movies.
Well, first, yes. Yeah. First of all, we're celebrating the movies.
Yes.
But here's my thing.
Of course,
you say, "Where's your penis seated?" Oh, it's on Bradley Cooper's face.
Yes.
No, that's.
But he's not. Doesn't have it. He doesn't have it because he's not in Maestro right now. But he doesn't have it. He's not in Maestro.
That is
right now.
One way to go. But for me, the magic is sort of in visualizing a penis. Then the absence of that penis,
but
and then
which again is not shown, yeah. Which is not shown in the movie Barbie.
No,
then go watch Barbie, and you'll say something's missing.
Right,
but you,
yeah, no,
but I think you won't.
I think to me,
but you could.
It's kind of gay to be like Matt, this big penis, and then to go and then talk about another like penis.
Yeah.
You need to break that up.
Well,
when it becomes a nose, it's not. It's not gay at all.
Yes. As a married guy, I did need just like a little palate cleanser.
That's
of
what I'm saying.
No penis.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like, just, can we please
can
just
we
have
just,
no penis?
Let's just live
in
our own for half a second.
And by then, I was ready to be like, okay, I'm ready for another penis.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready to see.
But it's on, it's in Maestro on his face.
Yeah. That big Jewish nod is a penis. That's what I was thinking.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Look at those
it's
eyes.
Hilarious. It's I was watching my show. I was like, that thing was dancing in Saltburn.
See?
Is that the same? Is that
the
penis?
Scene.
It dances
that's
in
the
it?
Scene. Yeah, he's
dancing or the penis is dancing?
I mean, it's sort of like chicken or the egg, really. Like, which?
Yeah, I just feel like if you're watching it saying that nose was dancing, but it was actually a guy dancing who just had a penis.
Yes.
So that's what it is—a guy dancing.
You know what?
I like the joke. I just
married,
don't.
So.
Yeah, I haven't been able to. My wife.
This is so frustrating because
I
told the room we need to talk about Barbie in between those. Like,
right? Yeah.
Well, it's such a big movie.
We should have
such a big movies
on the way. On the way back from, so maybe we could put in.
Yeah.
Actually, ADR.
Yes. Yes. I think it would be that.
On the way back
so
from
big,
Maestro
made
to
me
Saltburn.
Think, What if there wasn't one on Ken and Saltburn dance?
Great. I love that. Okay. Let's see a little
Daniel
more.
Brooks is Danielle Brooks. Where's Danielle Brooks? Danielle Brooks is here. Fantasia's here. Where's Fantasia? Coleman Domingo. All in the color purple. By the way, the color purple is also what happens to your butt when you take Ozempic.
Let it run.
Half the room is cringing and the other half is like, I gotta get home and grab my selfie stick.
Let
it run.
Gonna
be home after the Globes. Man, he was lying. It's more of a magenta.
Let it run.
I love this year's nominated TV shows.
Stop it.
Like,
Yeah, you gotta kind of like feel. Well,
I needed a break from movies. I mean, is anybody else sick of movies and TV and shit? I mean, we're gonna talk about TV now, but and I needed shit. A fucking break, dude. And you really brought me there, and I'm going, oh, now he's gonna talk about The Color Purple. He's gonna talk about this movie again. But then it really just became about a joke about the actual literal.
No, it was good. I thought it was good to acknowledge the few black actors in the room, all sort of segregated from the rest of my monologue. And
but then immediately transitioned into talking about a
swollen, you know, asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a pussy swollen asshole. That's Color Purple.
Oh, okay. So that's what you were referring to. I thought you were just, for some reason, like lying, because then you say that you're lying,
mm-hmm.
and that you want people to go home and check and see
but
if.
But they're lying. But it was more of a magenta, are, okay. So it was actually.
And
I also thought Ozempic just made you like not eat as much. I didn't think it made right. you like.
I didn't know about that. I think he may. I think. I kept saying let it run because I thought he said go home and Google the side effects or something like that.
No. Look. Not yeah. all
no,
premise.
He's just
look,
said to go home and watch three movies.
Oh yes,
you can't.
Everyone who's there, is
you
probably
can't
like,
steal
I
a
watched
premise
this before I came.
You can't steal a premise if you make it up.
Right.
Okay. That was the point I was making. It was like, hey, yeah. De Niro, Scorsese, watch The Master. I'm
right.
making up a
I'm
premise
not stealing
right now.
Some premise.
The
like
color
you
purple.
Stole oil.
Your butthole turns purple.
Okay.
From not. Wanting to eat as much.
I don't know.
Is it, you know,
things, is it a side effect?
Yeah,
is
medicine it, has side effects.
Is it from wiping?
The way
there,
it was
yeah.
presented,
I get
to you know within the context of your special, yeah. which I'm enjoying.
Thank you.
Was that everyone knows about this one famous side effect?
Right.
That your asshole turns purple.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more of a magenta, but that's the thing. But
yeah,
that's
eventually
because the movie's not called The Color Magenta.
No, but well, then people would just be like, "Oh, I know exactly that where he's going with this."
That's right. But yeah, it feels like none of us knew that.
No one did.
Yeah,
and that's why it's funny.
There's so much more.
Yeah. Let's just let some run and we'll
do we
just,
want
to we'll
let the whole thing
quick recap. Yeah, just let it run.
Yeah, let's
we'll
let the whole thing run.
Because we obviously, it's really good, Joe.
Thank you.
And congratulations. And
we could even do it at 2x speed or perhaps, I don't know.
Yeah, might want to get it kind of cruising.
Succession is coming to an end after four beautiful seasons. I loved it. I loved everything about it. The one thing that this show taught me is if you're a billionaire, pull out. None of them are going to be like you. You're going to be a bad version of you. Just pull out. There's billionaires in here.
That was the problem.
Pull
they
out.
Weren't enough like him.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
That's what the show said.
You know, another, maybe some ADR is do not CGI. Right?
Yeah.
Do not CGI.
Do not
CGO.
CGI. That's one yeah. thing I learned about Succession. Do not CGI. Yeah.
See, do you hear me say CGO?
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. CGOB
on butt.
I think on back, but
oh, yeah.
they're all good. You yeah, know? It's like whatever you want. Like
wait, CGOB boobies.
Wow.
Yes,
come on.
But that's
boobies.
a
we
set,
have to do that.
That's a set ender.
Come
but
and go.
You have another. You have another 3 minutes.
Yeah, uh-huh. that show did teach me. I'm not a billionaire, but it said, you know, pull out because your kids won't be enough like you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was the issue is that they just weren't bad.
They're not going to be like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The system itself works, but the kids were.
You got more? It was like clapping like 9, really? Just a great series about a rich, white, dysfunctional family, all scheming. Oh, no, that's The Crown. That's The Crown. I'm sorry. How great was Imelda Staunton in The Crown? Wasn't she amazing? The portrayal of the queen was so good, Prince Harry called her and asked her for money. Like I said, I didn't write all these. That
yeah,
that
see,
because
that was sort of like
Harry-
I was
British
wondering
stuff.
Because it felt like you...
I was like, I don't know this British shit.
Yeah, I felt like you you had abandoned the catchphrase you'd thought about doing before of, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding?
And I thought, well, is there going to be anything that ties this back to the beginning when I was really feeling it?
Uh-huh.
And saying again that you didn't write all of these and now I can fill in the rest. You only wrote the funny ones.
Right.
That I'm loving.
Right.
And we're training off of what we all know about Prince Harry, which is that he is like always calling the queen and being like, can I have some money?
I didn't write that. I don't even know what that shit's about.
Yeah.
Who's for,
I think of Prince Harry. I already picture the phone in his hand.
Yes.
Hello, mom.
Yeah, he's in one of those dumb red phone boxes.
Spot the quid, mom. You know, yeah. He's doing the.
Oh, I
you could do that.
I mean, I should have you guys in the room, not these fucking losers.
Yeah, it sounds
dumbass.
Like you got some real fucking duds. I mean,
Marco will still get paid millions of dollars for doing absolutely nothing, and that's just by Netflix.
Ted,
I have a deal too.
I have a deal. Yeah, see,
because they're acting like only murders are in the building.
I can make that
joke. Five nominations tonight.
You have a deal too.
On that show, you don't know whose side to be on. That's how I feel about Daryl Hall and John Oates. Which one is Oates? Is it the one with the thick?
This was funny. This was good. This, yeah. Does anyone know?
Fuck you.
Oh, shit. Oh, very, you motherfucker.
Very disorienting.
I've been waiting. Look, I'll say this. I've been waiting 30 years to make that joke. Now's the time. That's what I said. I wrote that one.
This is not okay with me. I was like, where is he going? Whose side to be on?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This motherfucker.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Very strange.
Shit.
Very strange.
No, it wasn't. I hadn't been thinking about them at all.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about.
No.
You don't even have to be in Hollywood for that one.
You have to be anywhere. You don't have to do anything ever again.
That's right. That's how I feel. I mean, just I. Sometimes you just have to say how you feel.
I needed that. Oh, play it.
Speaking of blondes, Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
let it
famous
run.
Blonde.
My mom's favorite, right there. Meryl Streep is nominated for a Golden Globe tonight.
What's he gonna say? Well, you can't go out
tonight
to Meryl Streep
in this show.
Yeah. Duh. She's not coming to an award show unless you give her a nomination. She's got 34 nominations. This woman. There's nothing she can't do. This is the greatest of all time. That's the GOAT right there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what she plays, she kills it. My mom loves you. Everybody loves you, Meryl. You know my favorite line from you? Legendary. This one I hold in my heart. I say it all over, like every time. The way you said it, it just stuck with me. The way you said, Wakanda forever. It's brilliant. Do it again. Like, you better cross. Wakanda forever. Yes! That's it! Speaking of Wakanda forever, here's some hints about our first presenter. I'm going to give you some hints. You ready?
Sorry. Why did you do that?
That wasn't scripted. I was just flying so high from the Hall & Oates thing that I just kind of ripped. And I think in the moment, I thought it was funny. Like, I knew my mom would like this. My mom loves her. I wanted to end on a confusing note.
Yeah. Well, they got. They
crowd,
need
I
you
love,
to come back
you
out.
You love crowd participation.
What I love is because you do take these breaks, and so like I'm at this special, and I go, "Well, I can't wait for him to come back out because I wonder if he's going to explain what I just was here for."
Nope. And it's
especially if I'm sitting somewhere where I can't see her.
Uh huh. It's an acknowledgement too. Like she came out, and I appreciated it. She didn't have to be there. 36 nominations.
Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about someone who died as well. I mean, that's like something that's good. You know, we're thinking of an actor who passed away when we talk about that movie.
Yeah, but so it's like, better if a white lady does it sort of in a mocking fashion. I thought that would be sort of a fun way to.
Well, your mom loves her.
My mom loves her. Her favorite. So, yeah, that's the special. And I can't wait for people to see it when it comes out.
What? Where did you even? That's like,
I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know either, man. God, seek help. No, wait, don't. I want to keep being able to laugh.
Yeah.
Of all the ones,
stay sick
that you've come on this show to run through with us. This was. This felt like the longest.
Yeah.
Weirdly, it's for the sure, shortest.
Even though I think it is actually. Days. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I think that means I'm growing.
Right.
Mm-hmm, as a performer, mm-hmm. yeah. as a writer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so much more substantive what you're doing because it really is heartier and it does feel like it
heartier,
takes forever to,
yes.
to, I don't want to say endure.
Certain types of soups that have like so much in them that you like look down at the bowl and you're like, I feel like I've been eating this
right.
for so long. Mm-hmm. And that
it's like a soup full of spinach.
Yeah. Mm.
Can I talk my shit real quick?
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.